Take your Bibles and go to Deuteronomy. We're looking at blessings of obedience this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 11, and look at verse 26 to 28. Everybody says, okay, obedience, I get it. I hope I give you a different twist on it this morning to show you it's really more important than, and it's not as casual as we would have it to be. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. God has so structured the universe that when you do right, it automatically pushes a button and you get a blessing. God says, what you do is your choice. If you do right, I automatically bless you. If you do wrong, God says, it's not I'm hunting for who's doing wrong. God says, I have things structured so that when you do wrong, it's like you pushed a button and a curse follows. And God says, whether your life is blessed or cursed is all in your hands. God says, I don't want to curse anybody, but I have so structured the universe that nobody does wrong and gets away with it. Obedience is a choice. It's our choice. It is important to know that salvation is free by grace through faith. And I don't think anybody in here would, but in a day and age where people don't understand salvation and they're like, oh yeah, you got to keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. There's one commandment you have to keep or you go to hell. Take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John. We all know you don't get saved by keeping the commandments. 1 John chapter 3, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So the one commandment that will send you to hell if you disobey it is the command to get saved. It's not thou shalt not commit adultery or thou shalt not steal or lie. You're commanded by God to get saved. Everybody is. That's the only obedience that you need to get saved. Obviously, obey trusting Jesus as your Savior. Don't tie it in with any other commandments. We know none of the other commandments can get you to heaven. Blessings come, they're earned by obedience. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 14. You say, well, every Christian ought to stress obedience. Why do we tell our kids obey? So that one day they'll grow up and obey God. If they're used to telling us no, do this, no, then one day God's going to speak to their heart and they're going to respond the same way. Do this, no. Or how about this classic? Hey, do this, make sure that you get it in a minute. I know a lot of Christians that tell God, the Holy Spirit touches their heart and they tell God, in a minute, as soon as I'm done doing what I want to do. We teach our kids obedience so that they can grow up and be obedient Christians. Obedience is a foundational truth, concept, principle. Look at John 14 and notice this about obedience. Ready? John 14, look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I know that's basic and you say, oh, everybody knows that. Let's tie the lesson in then with your Christian life. I don't know how important obeying the Lord is to you, but your obedience shows your love for the Lord. Do you love God enough to put God first, and when you don't want to obey, you do anyways because you love the Lord? Well, what is it that makes you obey? Well, I don't want to get spanked. I don't want to get cursed. Okay, that could be a driving force. I like this statement too. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How about this statement? You only love as much as you obey. If obedience is not important to you as a Christian, then you don't love the Lord. Okay, let's switch it around. You only obey God as much as you love Him. You never have to measure God's love to you. He died for you. He proved His love. Died, rose again. That's settled. What's in question is our love for the Lord. So God says, if you ever want to measure how much you love me, just how important is it that you obey what I've told you to do? That's up to you to measure that. Now, in John 14, you've got verse 15. I think it's simple but very powerful verse. Look at over at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. There's three things in John 14:21. Hath, keep, and he it is that loveth me. If you have them, you know God's commandments. If you keep them, you live them because you protect them. And this shows your love for the Lord. You say, why are you writing this? Because have you ever noticed, if you didn't learn any more Bible than what you know, most people know more than they live anyways. Most of our characters will not let us live what we know. We know a lot more than we live. And if you don't understand that concept, how about this? Love thine enemies and do good to them which hate you and despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Okay, if all you did was stop at that verse, we got a lot to do. The distance between what you know and what you live is always determined by how much you love the Lord. And if you don't love the Lord, you can know an awful lot, but live very little. Your obedience is a measure of your love. Jesus states it in verse 15. Then when you get over to verse 21, he's going to restate it and give you three steps. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Your love for the Lord gets God's attention. Your obedience to the Lord gets God's attention. Same thing. How important obedience is to you gets God's attention. And then he says, we, my Father and I, will dwell with you, and you'll sense God's presence more than other people do. Your love for the Lord is equal to your love for the words of God. I hope this isn't the only time you've opened your Bible this week. If the only time you do it is at church, you're cutting yourself way short. You only love God as much as you love the Bible. They're inseparable. Jesus is the living Word. The Bible is the written Word. And you can't say, oh, I love Jesus, but then never read your Bible. That's how you spend time with the Lord, is you read God's Word. And most people don't think of that. Let's go the opposite way. Your love for yourself is revealed by your critical attitude towards the Word of God. You either let the Bible change you, or you're out to change the Bible. Well, I know what it says, but I just disagree with that. You're either letting the Bible help you, or you're trying to fix the Bible. It's one of the two. And that's all based on your heart condition. Aren't you glad we're not talking about salvation? There's all types of Christians out there. There's all types of pastors out there that'll correct the Bible. All types of garbage on the internet. So we've looked at obedience to God's word as your measure for our love for him. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may, notice these words, prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Look at Deuteronomy 6:2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be, there's that word again, prolonged. Deuteronomy 32:46-47. What makes us as Baptists different than the Methodist church that's up the road? Our obedience. We go soul winning. That doesn't make us better, but if you're wondering what makes us different than the churches that are around here, what's the difference between a Baptist church and other churches? It's how obedient they are. Every church has been told, get people saved, get them baptized, and get them, teach them to go soul winning. If they're not doing that, they're a culture club. Deuteronomy chapter 32, look at verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, and all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, watch this, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall, there's that word again, prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. If you obey, God lengthens your life. Go to Proverbs 10:27. This is so much in the Bible. You could take a whole class time and just look at each verse. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So here's the concept in the Bible. Every person has a day they were born, And every person has an appointment with death. There's a time already written down when you're going to die, when I'm going to die. I don't know it, but Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto men once to die. Nobody escapes it. So that time that you're going to die is in God's books, already written down. If you live right, the Bible teaches over and over again, Proverbs 3, 1 through 2, Proverbs 3, 13 through 16, Proverbs 4, 10, Proverbs 9, 9 through 11. We can go on and on. If you live right, God moves your death date this way, and God lengthens your life. If you disobey God, it's in there many times, God shortens your life. How come they died at... It's tragic when a young person dies, but how come they died at 18 years old? Maybe they did right, and maybe they were supposed to die at age 10, but God lengthened their life. I don't know why they died. This is in God's hands. But this principle, if you obey, God lengthens your life, and if you disobey, God shortens your life. It is literally from cover to cover. Well, I know somebody, they ran moonshine in the 30s, and you know, days of prohibition, and they lived to be 97 years old. Maybe they were supposed to live to be 110. But their years of wickedness took life away from them. Nobody does wrong and gets away with it. I've heard all types of justification. Well, I know somebody that smoked, and they've smoked since they were 10, and they lived to be 80 years old. Maybe they were supposed to live to be 100. So you're going to take up smoking because somebody took it up at 10, smoked for 70 years, and lived to 80. It's a stupid way to think. This principle here, I know this is very sobering. Every Christian ought to know this. Why do we do right? God put the strongest tendency all of us have is to survive. God knows what He's doing when He says, if you do right, I'll prolong your days. If you will make me your life, I'll bless you for it. That's one of the that's not the only blessing, but that's one of the blessings. Deuteronomy 28 has 68 verses in it. If we went there this morning, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, God says, if you obey my voice, I'll bless you this way. I'll bless your children. I'll bless your business. I'll bless this. 14 verses of blessings. And then when you hit Deuteronomy 28, 15, God says, but if you will not, I will curse you when you come in. I'll curse you when you go out. You will be afraid at night before you go to bed. You'll be afraid every morning. You'll have anxiety attacks. It's part of the curse of disobedience. God's trying to say, I will make it worth it to you if you obey me. If you obey me, I'll bless you. Did you notice this? 53 verses of judgment and curses, verses 14 of blessings. You say, well, how come it's not split in half? Ought to be 34 verses of blessings and 34 verses of judgment. That's because judgment's a motivator to all of us. God says, if you do right, I will help you. I'll bless you. I'll bless the work of your hands. I'll multiply it. But God says, if you disobey me, I will smite everything. You'll never make sense of life. You'll just continue to go in a circle. Obedience is supposed to be one of those things that is a driving force with you, not to get saved, praise the Lord, but now that you're saved, God says, I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to help your life. I want to help your family. I want to help you, but that's up to you. That's your choice. I'm not a mean God if I judge you for doing wrong. I already set that into play. Please don't make those choices. Matthew 25, 21. Everybody has a driving force behind why you do what you do. But whatever happened to, I'm not living for this life. I'm looking forward to heaven and what God has for me. Am I going to get everything I got coming to me? Yes, Greg Nash is going to get everything he's got coming to him. Have I done everything right? No. Are there people I should have witnessed to that I'm going to see cast into hell? Yes. I will weep judgment day, and their blood will be on my hands. Have I done everything like I'm supposed to do it? No, I haven't. But one thing that's supposed to encourage you and something that pushes you in the Christian life is I got 70 years to live a natural life on this earth. Okay, the average life in America right now is 78. Some obviously live longer, some live shorter, but that's typical right now. I like still saying 70. I'm 52, 53. I got 17 years left. When I hit my 35th birthday, I told my wife, "Well, hon, I'm halfway through." And she goes, "Don't talk that way." Just like a lady, you know. There's rewards that are coming for your obedience after you get to heaven. Look at Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Look at verse 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee," and I have the word ruler underlined. How you handle your Christianity right now determines what you're going to do for 1,000 years in the millennium when Jesus sets up his kingdom. God says, if you're faithful with what I give you and you do what you can with it, what I tell you, God says, I'll make you, there'll be people that are rulers over cities. I don't know how it's going to be structured. I just know the whole earth is going to be divided up into kingdoms. And God says, based on what you do now will determine what you do for 1,000 years. There'll be some people, they will be in charge of nothing. They will answer to the king over just that. There'll be some people, I'm sure they're garbage collectors. And then, praise God, they're saved, right? Glory to God, sins are all gone, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made it to heaven, forever going to live, good, got it. See, when we get to heaven, you're not going to have to ask anybody, "Well, what'd you do for the Lord? What'd you do for the Lord?" You'll be able to tell by looking at them. You won't have to ask any questions. God says, how you handle your life in 70 years to live for me, watch this, with a sinful flesh, with a sinful world that's pulling on you, when we get to heaven, that's all gone. You won't have to fight to do right in heaven. You won't have the world and its fame and its entertainment and its money pulling at you when we get to heaven. It's all gone. Does everybody see the work that's involved? If you obey God right now, it won't be by accident. It will be because you said, I'm going to live for God. I'm not doing what the world tells me to do. I'm not doing what my flesh tells me. I'm going to live for God. And if you do, you have 70 years to determine what you will be in charge of for 1,000. God will pay you back for everything you do. The missionaries that were killed on the field and had their heads cut off by the tribes, and what was the one in the 1960s, the team that went down to South America, to the Amazon, and they were run through with spears. Every missionary that goes to the field isn't killed, but those that have been, yeah, God's going to pay them back. Nobody's getting ripped off. This life is not what we're supposed to be living for. Obedience is supposed to be a force important to every Christian.